Hello and welcome back to All My Darlings, where we are reading Harp Song for a Radical, Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs by Marguerite Young. We're on page 109, chapter 32. Last couple of chapters have been pretty long. But the other ones really aren't. Very attractive. Oh, no. Oh, good gracious. I hate it when that happens. Very attractive to Witling's eye is he who is surely a strange traveler as any he met. While going about with his measuring tape by which to take the measurements of paradisal seekers, might better be measured by a gradient than by a tailor's tape or a carpenter's ruler, the old communal settlement of the Rappites near Pittsburgh, now when its great days were over, provided for him a cynosure, a center of light yet not yet extinguished by the dawn of the new world of the machine, which ought to make all such places of refuge obsolete. The Harmony Society at Economy, which stood on the banks of the Ohio River, was that to which, after the sale of the Harmony on the banks of the Wabash, married celibate communitarians had come, leaving behind them all their property, which was deemed by them to be non-transportable, including the bodies of the dead in their nameless graves, which were marked by no tombstones for the sleepers to have to roll away when the angel Gabriel blew his horn, and the footprints, which the big-footed angel had left outlined in limestone when he descended to earth and talked to the patriarchal rep, who in his tall peaked hat had seemed to have the ability to be everywhere at once, had been confident that God would provide again such patterns of being and signs and tools as they had left behind them, such houses and barns and mills and beehives as they could not have carried with them unless they had had the help of winged magicians. He had spoken with the elders who were running a community long geared by habit to the peaceful ways of shepherds and fleecers and weavers and fruit pickers and plowmen, and who were always very much involved with the community's conduct of business affairs with the external world, those of which the workers in the internal world seemed to know little or nothing as to how many dollars of silver there were or how many dollars of gold. Why had Father Rapp left the old Harmony on the Wabash, where he and his people had been doing so well? It was said that in accordance with the text of Martin Luther's original German Bible, of which he was the one mouthpiece, conduit, interpreter, he and his followers were not mere children of clay, as some might believe in view of their self-effacing humility, but were the living incarnation of the Sun Woman, who in the Book of Revelation, as described by St. John the Divine, was a woman clothed with the sun and had the moon at her feet and wore upon her head a crown of 12 stars and was with child and cried as she in the midst of her travailing in birth was pained to be delivered of the child. And there had appeared in the heavens a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his 7 heads, whose tail had drawn down a third part of the stars of heaven and had cast them down to earth and who had stood before the woman before she was delivered so that he might devour the child as soon as it was born. She had brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and who was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman had fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, and they should be fed for 1,260 days. There was to be war in heaven, until the great dragon with his evil angels was cast out from the heaven, where they could be found no more in any place, inasmuch as he had become the devil or Satan who had deceived the whole world, and had persecuted the woman who had given birth to the man-child. The Rappites were generally united by faith in this Sun Woman, of whom they were the manifestation or embodiment or children. She was winged but bigger than an ox, and with a bright ray streaming from her head had led them to the millennial continent, which for some unholy reason was given over to the idea of transience, and had been with them when they had established their first harmony in Pennsylvania, and then their second harmony upon the banks of the Wabash, before voyaging to Economy, and then without bringing upon a flatboat the slab of limestone where the angel Gabriel had left his long-toed footprints, believed by some expert geologists to be those of a prehistoric Indian runner who had paused for a moment while running over the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi, and had been purchased by Father Rapp from a poor Indian for $2 on the wharf of St. Louis. Without bringing from the old harmony to the divine economy the sign of the golden rose of Micah, which had signified the coming of the golden age, and without bringing the sundial, which had measured time by the shadow, all such heavy freight had established a community which was to prosper from its pecuniary interests in coal mines, sawmills, oil wells, control of manufactories at Beaver Falls, laying of a subterranean pipeline to convey their rich deposits of oil, and a golden flood for dispensation. Surely not wholly sweet-smelling oil, two strings of western Pennsylvania industrial settlements, where if among mills and mines a wanderer or worker named Jesus Christ should appear in a period of starvation causing the uprisings of labor strikers, the pharaohs of the ambulatory capitalism would drive him out of town and tar him and feather him. The harmonists at economy were to live and prosper until their gradual shriveling and extinction, caused by the celibacy of these married men who had placed not their seed in the loins of their women, all waiting for regeneration when the golden Messiah should come to bear them away to the earthly paradise, as had been promised in the long ago and very recently. Oh, all right, sorry about all that. I hate it when that happens. That's not supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be all well done to speak. Okay, thank you for listening. Hope you're well wherever you are. Bye.